All right, we are back with you here on this Wednesday morning program. It's 19 degrees with some sunny skies. It's actually very nice out there. And speaking of last night, what a great event that the inauguration was held last night at the Attleboro City Hall. And once again, we have two very special guests here in studio, two of my favorite people in the Attleboro area. We have Julie Hall and Jay Delisio with us once again this morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
First of all, congratulations on both of you.
Thank you.
What a tremendous outpouring of last night with everything. First of all, Julie, a little bit of of how you think last night went with the inauguration.
Well, since this was my first time, there was a lot of folks that were coming up to me saying what a great crowd there was. Since I didn't have any perspective, I sort of have to take their word for that. And I think that's a great thing, because people that have been to this event before have obviously noticed that there was a great number of people there supporting this event. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, these are the people that voted for us. Mm. And I sure always say, you know, let's celebrate together, because it's a vote that we take together.
Yeah, and I think with the amount of crowd that I saw, now this, you know, we had it live here on radio, we had it streaming, we had it on YouTube, our channel, we had it on AACS, and just the outpouring of people last night in attendance, they just couldn't believe how many people were there as well. What went through your mind last night, Jay?
Well, I think it just speaks to what Attleboro is all about. It's about community. It's about really that passion and really what Blue Pride is really all about. And to sit there and see how many people are personally vested in the community, I think it's outstanding. I think a lot of similar situations outside of Attleboro might not have gotten that much. And, you know, you don't see that apathy here in Attleboro. Everyone has their own ownership stake in this, and I think that's awesome. And as Julie said, you know, these are friends, family, people who've entrusted us over the next 2 years to really lead the city and continue the forward progress. So it was really amazing.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you're saying. I can hear in your voice about both of you is with the passion of the city as well. But a lot of the passion also you could hear from Mayor Kevin Dumas last night. Yeah. You know, giving his 15-minute speech last night, which went really well. I think it went really quick. His speech went really well because everybody was like in tuned, you know, listening to that great speech. And one thing that I really really loved what George Rhodes put in the newspaper this morning, the Riverfront Park area, yeah. You know, being named Judith Robbins, that area too. You know, Judy had a big part. You know, you've worked with them, both of you have worked with her. Judy Robbins was, you know, when you started off with Blue Pride, you know, now you talk about Blue Pride, with Mayor was talking to last night. One of the people who exhumes Blue Pride is Bill Rooney, you know that. But Judy Robbins had a big part, you know, early in the year, even before Blue Pride was named Blue Pride.
And you know, Julie and I both worked with Judy, and I spent the last 2 years working on the ARA, and for the year and a half plus that we were together, Judy became really someone I looked up to and someone that I admired, and just her knowledge and dedication and commitment to the city was really, it's second to none. So I think it's a really fitting tribute to have that park named after her.
And yeah, and you know, when you think about, you know, Judy Robbins, you think about, you know, Blue Pride and stuff like that. You know, as you said, you worked with her as well, Julie.
Yeah, and I was on the board of directors with her at the Literacy Center.
Right.
And it was very interesting, because I think it was sort of a more informal kind of group than you'd normally see Judy in. Mm. And she shared a lot. And one of the things that I greatly appreciated is this is a person that gave all of her life to Attleboro. And she gave a lot of her money to Attleboro also. And she felt as though that the citizens of Attleboro were still paying her in the sense of a pension, and she felt that she still worked for the city and she still owed the city. And I thought, that's just such an awesome way to think. That's somebody that's very committed till the end, if you would.
Yeah. And you talk about being committed is Rick Correa, Benny Keene, Jackie Romanecki, and I always joked, because we would get emails from Judy at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I mean, she worked countless hours.
Yeah, and you know, and knowing her as well as I did, you know, working with her, you know, with cable and the radio back in the 80s, She was one of those people who you could, you know you could trust her back then. And it's nice to see a nice fitting tribute to her. Being a brand new elected to the city council, Julie, and you have been there before, Jay. Before we get into other stuff that's with the city council, before we get Jim Corbin's update, a little background on who Julie Hall is.
Okay, well, I think most people know that primarily I came here after the military. I had a 30-year career in the military, and this was the first place that I sort of landed. Mm-hmm. Once I got out of the military, I have great memories of Attleboro. I grew up in Walpole, mm-hmm. but I do tell the story that all the time as a young girl. I had seven brothers and sisters, and we were a very middle-class family. And coming to the zoo was something that you could do pretty, pretty cheap with seven kids. And my mother would pack a lunch and bring us here. So my memories of Attleboro as a little girl were Capron Park. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we couldn't even afford to get into the zoo. So I do remember the only thing we could see from the outside of the zoo was Frosty.
Yeah,
so those are the things, I remember about Attleboro. But those are fond memories that I've had, and to be able to come back after so many years of being away in many different towns and cities, to land in a place like this that, and I think people mention this quite often, it is a city, but it has such a town feel. It's mm-hmm. such yeah. a feel of community, and I think it really is. It's a pleasure to be here and to be part of Attleboro now.
Right, and exactly what you said, that was also mentioned last night in one of the speeches. It does feel like a big family. I think the mayor hit it right on the head when he said that. It really does feel like family. All right, we're going to hold you there on that for a second. We're going to go to Jay in a few moments, but we have another update on our forecast with Jim Corbin now. Jim?
Well, it's on a much quicker rise in temperature this morning compared to yesterday morning, so you'll really notice the change over the coming hours. And in Greater Attleboro, we're going to reach around 40 this afternoon, winds out of the southwest, nice and clear again tonight, falling down to 20 degrees, so not as cold tomorrow morning as this morning. And then tomorrow, another pretty good day, low 40s with sunshine, few high clouds, and then Friday, mostly cloudy, and by Friday night into early Saturday, there's a chance we could see a little bit of light mist or freezing mist and freezing rain. More on that as we get closer, but it could be a little dicey, as we say, late Friday night, early Saturday morning, with some icy roads possible. And then Sunday is the really wet day of the weekend. However, it'll get up close to 50 degrees, so it's kind of a trade-off there. And then much of next week is back to the somewhat colder weather that we typically get this time of the year.
All right, Jim, sounds good. We'll talk to you in just a bit again.
Okay.
All right. If you'd like to contact our guests in studio, 508-222-1320, we're going to take our calls in just a few moments. Going back to Julie for a moment, I'm going to be with you in just a second, caller. Was it this year or something, you also served as the MC for the Memorial Day Parade in the Triangle as well?
Yes, I did. And that's, quite an opportunity when you get to represent. And I try to get out there as much as I can and represent the veterans. One of the things I do, and I say this to a lot of people, is there aren't too many high-ranking women veterans. Mm-hmm. There aren't too many high-ranking officers, especially that you find in a little small town like this. And so I kind of want to get out there as a role model so that other young women and men that are out there can see that anybody can go in and can come from a small town and go in and make something of themselves.
And you also serve on the Rotary, right?
I'm on the board of directors at the Rotary, mm-hmm. and also I work with Sturdy and their foundation. I work on one of their committees. So I've got a few things happening, mm-hmm. yeah.
And now a new member of the city council.
Yeah, so it's exciting. Yep.
And with Jay DeLisio, a little background on who Jay is.
Yeah, my wife Amy and I moved to Attleboro 2004, mm-hmm. and we moved over in the Twin Beach condos over on North Main, which is actually where I met Julie. We were mm-hmm. on the board of trustees over there together for 4 years, 5 years.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah, long time.
Long time, yeah.
And giving back to the community, something that's always been important to me and my family. And back in 2010, I started really giving some credence to the idea of potentially running. After some conversation with some good friends and Amy, we felt the time was right in 2011. So we ran, and I've been involved in Attleboro politics really since then. I work for Santander Bank. I'm a branch manager at the Needham Center branch. I've been in banking for 14 years now, managed branches of all sizes. It's interesting because there's a lot of parallels between what I do at the bank and a lot of what we do for the residents of the city. There's a lot of crossover and parallels. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my 9-year-old son, Ryan, who is a self-proclaimed campaign manager. And he's just
one of these days he'll be probably sitting in this corner office of City Hall down the line anyway.
He's going to be whatever he wants to be, and you know he makes us proud on a daily basis.
And now also recently you've also been on the ARA, and you also talk a little bit about the background, which you also work with Chief Hegney as well for the police department.
After the election in 2013 where I had lost my seat, I still love the city. It's something that I wanted to stay involved, and when I think about really what was important to me at that time, it was making sure some of these projects that meant so much that started when I was on council my first term, we saw it at fruition, and then public safety is something that's very near and dear to my heart. So when the opportunity came, I had the conversation with the mayor. I said, hey, I'd love to serve on the ARA, and I'd love to be on the police commission, and the two came together serendipitously, and we were able to, I was able to spend the last 2 years working with the ARA and seeing some of these projects, whether it's Renaissance Station, New England Sports Village, the finishing touches on the ITC, the DPW yard on Lamb Street, really start to come to fruition. Of course, as we talked about the Riverfront Park and everything else. I mean, it's amazing to see these projects that are coming together and really transform what the image is of Attleboro, especially from the outside looking in. And as far as the police commission goes, it was an honor to be able to work with someone like Kyle Hegney, who's such a forward thinker, very dynamic in his approach.
Join the Episcopal.
And the way he's really transformed that department is incredible. And just, I can't say enough good things about the men and women who are on that force. So those were two things that were very near and dear to my heart.
We have Julie Hall and Jay DeLisio, two Attleboro City Councilors. You don't have to say elect anymore. They are City Councilors now. I believe we have a caller on the line. Good morning. Hello there. Nobody there. Wait for a second. I guess they couldn't wait. If you'd like to contact our counselors here in studio, 508-222-1320, maybe ask them a question or two, or just a congratulatory remark. The other thing, Julie, that I know that that you've been very involved in, as well as not just the veterans, but you've actually, you know, last year and this year, you've worked with some of the great people that we had in the Veterans Agent. This year, you also did a lot of the flags at the cemeteries. You know, talk a little bit about the newly elected, you know, this newly elected, well, new hire, Ken Bottichere, who's our new Veterans Agent.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I had a great friendship with Carl. And Carl, as I first got out of the military, Carl was exceptional in doing his job, which is to help bring us all back home and to a comfortable place, which he did quite well. And I am really happy with the replacement that the mayor chose. Ken is an awesome guy. He's got a lot of experience in doing the job. And, you know, the job is very paperwork-oriented and very policy-oriented, you know, just so like the military, weeding through all those policies and guidances. And Ken is really good at that, and that's what makes him successful. So he knows the right answers, he knows where to get things done, and he's actually a very nice man, too. So it makes it all good. And he's Air Force, if I have to mention that.
That's right,
he is. I was also Air Force, so that makes it even doubly good.
He was part of the many people at last night's City Council the inauguration last night. He was in here about a month ago. We had him in studio, and every time I see him, even last night, talking to him for a few moments, he's very cordial, very nice. But, you know, to a person to replace Carl Bradshaw, I think the mayor picked a perfect person.
Yeah.
And that office, and as you know very well, you can't do that office without Connie Uria.
Oh.
Connie is the mainstay at that office. She's been there for so many years.
Yeah. Yep. And as I was saying, you know, it's really important to get that job done, that you understand the paperwork and the policies and the long-term history of what happened. And I think that we are so lucky to have someone like Connie who has that experience. This is, you know, this to me is just one other aspect that makes the city great. I mean, it's almost everything in this city just seems to fall into the place, and people want to be here, and good people want to be here. Mm-hmm. And it's no surprise to me. It's a great city.
It is. The other thing, Jay, that you also got involved with nearly 4 years ago is Attleboro Restaurant
Week,
which is going to be taking place the end of this month.
Yep, absolutely. And this is just an idea that I remember about 4.5, 5 years ago. And you see it, you know, Salem Restaurant Week, Boston mm-hmm. Restaurant Week, Providence, Newport. And it's kind of like the 2004 World Series Boston mm-hmm. Red Sox, why not us?
Yeah.
So, you know, I brought the idea to the mayor and I said, hey, we have all these great restaurants. We have restaurants that have been here for, you know, decades and generations, you know, such as Morin's and Weatherlane's. And then we have some of the newer ones, such as Scorpio's and Sangria's and Papagayo. Wouldn't it be a great idea to really showcase this? And the response has been overwhelming for 4 years. And we did it a little differently this year based on some feedback. We're doing it the end of January, really to make sure that you know, we just feel it's a good time. It kind of breaks up the winter a little bit. We got some feedback from some of the restaurants saying that, you know, maybe we could try it there. And there's really never going to be a time that works out perfectly
sure.
for everyone. Because if we did it when we usually did it in the fall, it would, you know, might have been Morin's Oktoberfest. It might
yeah.
have interfered with that. So we're trying it this time. And the feedback so far has been great. We're still in the early stages of getting yeah. everything finalized. And, you know, for more information, go to AttleboroRestaurantWeek.com. But what a great way to just bring the community together. And, you know, this being the fourth one, you know, it's starting to go up there with the Expo for the Senses uh-huh. and the Winter Festival. So it's pretty amazing. And it's just one more thing that really puts Attleboro on the map and separates us from some of our neighboring communities.
Yeah, plus, you know, if people like, you know, people who are, you know, have not familiar with Attleboro, you know, in the surrounding communities or in Rhode Island, Connecticut, wherever, or you're an Attleboro native, sometimes, you know, some people may not go to some of these restaurants.
Right.
So this is a great thing to do because they'll go in there. You've got a prefix menu.
Yep.
You can pick and choose, you know, the 3 or 4 items that they have
yep.
at a very special price, whether if it's an appetizer and a dessert, a dinner, whatever it is. And they also do it for lunch. Some of the restaurants
yep.
do for that as well.
Yeah, it's great. Some of the feedback, I was talking to someone last year after it, they're like, this was great. We went restaurant jumping this week, you know, and we don't go out a lot, but it gives people an option. And like you said, you know what, there's a lot of people, we all have our, you know, one or two go-tos, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in the mood for this tonight, I'm in the mood for that, but this gives us the opportunity to gives the residents the opportunity to try something different.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break once again. We are here with Councilors Jay DeLisio and Julie Hall, and we'll be talking to more about what they're planning on doing for the next couple of years. And if you'd like to chime in as well, our lines are open at 508-222-1320.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
1964, The Tribute, is in fact a Beatles tribute band scheduled to perform at the Stadium Theater located on Monument Square in Woonsocket on January 16th at 8 o'clock p.m. Since the early 1980s, this tribute band has been recreating early 60s live Beatles concerts, complete with period instruments, clothing, hairstyles, and even on-stage banter. For more information about this event, call 401-762-4545.
All right, we are back with you at, we've gone up to 23 degrees. Wow, we're getting a heat wave out there now, huh? Well, it's like yesterday when I walked into the studio, it was 8. But anyway, 9:22 on this Wednesday morning, we have Julie Hall and Jay DeLisio. They are, of course, Attleboro City Councilors at Large. Julie, I know that recently you were awarded the Deborah Sampson Award. Talk a little bit about that award and who Deborah Sampson was.
Sure. Thank you. I did get the award. It was originally called the Outstanding Woman Veteran of the Year. And so I was very honored to get that award. I mean, when you get out of the military and you get into the community, this is an award that recognizes what you're doing as a veteran for the community, not as a military person. Mm-hmm. So that was very humbling for me to get that, because you never know how you're doing when you get out, whether you're really supporting. And you know, when you're in the military, you get some very good feedback as to how you're doing. So this was a great award. The one thing that makes this award even more special is that it's now named after Deborah Sampson. And Deborah Sampson was the first female soldier in the Continental Army here in Massachusetts. And there's very interesting stories about how Deborah made her way through the military, and she did. But one of the things that I've come to know recently is that she also was one of the first female that got a pension from the state of Massachusetts, and she didn't at first. It was Paul Revere that went to bat for her that helped her get this pension. So there's a lot of history around Deborah, and you know, to have that kind of honor, to be honored after a person that had that kind of great courage, to you know, that was a hard thing, because she would have been probably beaten, and what you'll hear her say in her memoirs is she would have been beaten and put in jail if anybody found out that she had joined the Army as a woman. So I'd like to think that we have come a long way, but there you see there are people way back in the day that started this all. So it really means a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, reading up on Deborah Sampson some years back, I remember reading about her in high school, even college. I know that she came from a little town outside of Plymouth called Plympton, which is not too far from Halifax. But when she passed away in 1827, she was living in Sharon. Isn't there a park in Sharon named after her, I thought?
There is, from what I understand, near the library, there is actually a statue that's erected for her. I have not seen it. It's on one of my destination visits here in Massachusetts, but I need to get over there and take a look at that statue.
One of the questions that I know Jim Corbin wanted to ask me the other day, and I'm going to bring it out to you right now, and he had some, not controversy, but he wanted to find out really what is the difference, and I know you guys know the difference, between an at-large and a ward counselor. I mean, an at-large counselor, you're taking care of your, like, look at the whole city. The ward, of course, you're taking a look at the whole city, but you're also looking at your community where you live. So Jim can mention this later on, is that what is, you know, and why is there a ward and an at-large counselor?
When you have a city the size of Attleboro, there's a lot of, you know, 43, almost 44,000 people. There's, and every one of those residents has their own issue, concern, challenge, whatever it might be. So when you have your ward counselors, they focus on very specific issues and concerns that come up in their ward.
Sure.
Where the at-large councils really are able to lend support is really being that second level of support. And we have, we'll have constituents call us, reach out to us and say, hey, I've got this concern. I live over in Ward 3 and I don't know who to go to. I saw your name. What do we do? And, you know, when I was on the council, I'd always reach out to that ward council and say, hey, here's a situation that arose, rather, and how do you want to handle it? What support can I give? And it's really, it's 11 people to really help the day-to-day, the in and out of 44,000.
Okay. And then, of course, being you were in Ward 3, as well as Julie, you live there as we speak. Now you're in Ward 2.
Ward 2, yep.
You know, so any concerns that both of you will take as an at-large, Julie takes it to Frank Cook. You will take it to Mark Cooper.
Yep.
And then they will go from there. Now, if you're... if you were a ward counselor, you can also take a look. Now, if somebody is looking at, say Shannon Hegney's ward, Ward 6, if somebody is in that area by the Elks in that section of town, or city, not town, if they see you, you can, you know, if you have that answer, you can certainly help them without it. But if you don't have that answer or something like that, you can certainly contact Shannon.
Yep.
That's the one good thing about, one of the many things about this city that I have seen since I've started living here some years ago, is every counselor every school committee member, they're very approachable. If you have a concern, whether it be sidewalks, lights, traffic down your streets, stuff like that, you go to your counselor. I know one time I had a problem with a U-turn on the state road on 123. Yeah. At the time, I ended up talking to George Ross at the state rep race. He finally figured it out and got a new sign for it says no U-turn, but unfortunately, cars keep on going back and they knock it down. So, I mean, do you guys get questions? So what kind of questions for an at-large race, Julie, have you seen now? Have you gotten any so far during your campaign?
Yeah, and I think the good thing for me, because this is my first time, is I really had to get out into the community and learn about each neighborhood. So, yeah, as I went around, what I really appreciated was people were very willing to talk to you and very willing to tell you some of the things that were going on in their particular neighborhoods. And again, I'm going to say this again because they used the word neighborhood, mm-hmm. which I just thought is just really good.
Yeah.
That's a good word to use when you come from a big city like this, that people actually feel that they come from neighborhoods. That means a lot. And, you know, you think about security and everything that goes around with it. But, yes, there were some issues that came up. I mean, one of the things the folks down near Briggs were talking about in that area, that corner, is the stop sign.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of discussion with folks about that and really got so much information. I mean, I heard from different people. They told me about what happens during the La Salette traffic. Mm-hmm. And I actually got a chance to see that area for myself. And as I sort of drove there, I saw that there was actually a bush that came over and covered some of those signs. And I said, boy, there's some real small, simple, inexpensive things that can be done here to probably fix some of this problem. So I think that was one of the issues that I saw. 152, you know, always an issue that the traffic that comes around there. And being on the planning board also helped out quite a bit, because we had a few discussions about businesses that were going to go on 152, mm-hmm. and it was very difficult to see and sort of see how another business, if you would, was going to be able to contribute to a roadway that already has what they say is an F rating. And they say, how can you get any worse? Well, you know, what you don't do is add on to that. But so I think that's another issue too, about the, you know, whole traffic on 152 and watching what goes on there. So there's a few things that people spoke to me about.
Yeah, being in Ward 3, you know, you are, you know, concerned about your own neighborhood as well. You know, the place where you live, you know, you've got a lot of your constituents there. You know, when you were running, you must have talked to many of those people, and really, you know, they stood behind you, you know, and they stood by you even as you campaigned down there. And you've got, were there any questions, you know, in your ward itself or without the city that you had to go and find, you know, another person to ask and said that, you know, because, you know, you're brand new out there, so you didn't really have all of the answers right there.
Well, I didn't really have anybody. Most people really were trying to talk to me about things that were going on and educate me.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually that education coming from the people that live there, in my case, not to say that my colleagues aren't, you know, educated and aren't going to be able to contribute to some of this, but for me, it was very important that I heard from people that live in the community first, and it sort of taught me a lesson, if you would, right from the beginning, that my best place to go and get my information is right from the horse's mouth.
Yeah,
get out there. If there's an issue, get out there, go look at it, talk to as many people as you can that live in that area, because they're the ones that are going to be affected by this decision, and I think that their input to you is probably the most important.
Right.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
How are you?
Good. I heard a vicious, vicious rumor about you that I wanted to give you an opportunity to address.
Yes.
According to an allegation I heard,
yes,
on January 2nd, I believe, you sat back, put your feet up, relaxed for 42 minutes. Without thinking of anyone else or trying to help anyone else. How do you address this scurrilous accusation that you, in fact, relaxed for 42 minutes?
Well, you know what? I don't want to be called a liar, so I'm going to tell you it wasn't a total 42 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all so right. It might have been 30 minutes, but 42.
Well,
no, I am a very busy person.
Yeah.
I laugh because, you know, it's true, and I like to keep busy. And
okay. Well, don't let it happen again.
Okay, I'll
and
try.
And good luck in your term as city councilor.
Thank you so much. Right. Thank you.
It's like Paul usually spends 42 minutes just figuring out what he's going to talk about in the first 5 minutes of the show. You know, and Jay, you you know, you've been there before. When you were out there campaigning, especially this year, what have, you know, some of the people come up to you and wanted to find out?
Well, you know, Julie brings up a great point, because no one knows more about what they're going through than the residents of the
right.
city. You know, and they're not shy when you knock on the door and say, hey, I'm here to talk to you about what's going on. And they'll let you know. And again, every neighborhood, every ward has its own very specific concern. You know, mm-hmm. The issues in Ward 6 might be different than the issues in Ward 3, which might be different in Ward 5. There's a lot of people who are concerned about spending. You know, they're very happy with the progress, but they want to see the progress continue, but they want us to make sure that we're doing it in a fiscally responsible way. What really made me proud and encouraged is how vested the residents are in the city mm-hmm. and how vested they are in the government. And we talked a little bit about that earlier in the program when we talked about the turnout from last night. There are a lot of different things, you know. There are people that are just saying, you know what, I want to see the schools get more money, and I want this sidewalk, and I want to see the school mm-hmm. committee and the city council work well together. And you know, and I said, I agree with all those things, you know, and it's something we need to do. And, you know, we're lucky to have such an amazingly strong school committee and an amazingly strong and experienced mm-hmm. council that it's just going to be tremendous over the next 2 years and hopefully beyond for the city.
You know, now with you've got Frank Cook taking over again, reelected last night. Jeremy is now, you know, is the Ward 5 councilor. He is going to be the vice chairman of the city council now. With the city council comes a lot of tough nights, you know, a lot of long nights. You know, you sit with the planning board, as you said, Julie.
Right.
And I know he's listening right now. You've got to see Bert Buckley again, you know, which is a great, great guy. But you know, he's been on the planning board for a while now and does a terrific job. And I bust him up because we love him so much, especially his food. But you know, Stacy makes all the food anyways. You know, he knows that too. But now, recently, I had a chance about a week and a half ago to go down here to the Swank Building.
Yep.
I got an email from Jackie Romanicki, and she and Rick Correa were talking about the Swank Building coming down.
Yep.
Apparently, they're gonna start doing it within the next couple of weeks into the next month. That is that site right there is something not just for Ward 5, but that's one of the issues that affects the entire city.
Yeah,
as a councilor, as an at-large councilor as well.
Of course, you know, really, and as a resident, mm-hmm. that's been something that over the 2 years on the ARA has taken up a lot of our time. And, mm-hmm. you know, really kudos to Jackie and Rick, who've really run point on this, with Bob Mangiarotti, the city solicitor, mm-hmm. who's been just, his knowledge and support is just, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. That building needs to come down.
Yeah.
You know, and it needs to come down in the right way. And I think, and Jackie always talks about, you know, you can't just take a wrecking ball through it. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of setup that needs to happen, especially given the type of business and the industry that it was. You have all the pollutants that can get into the air, sure. into the ground. And, you know, we talked a lot last year about the oil and about heating the building and what are we going to do. And there's a lot of moving parts that we need to make sure that we're taking care of in the most appropriate manner, because heaven forbid something happened to that building. Mm. You have Sturdy Hospital right there. It's in the middle of a residential neighborhood. So, you know, to see the progress that's coming and to be able to see the ARA, the City of Attleboro, the EPA, and all of our partners at a state and federal level come together, because it takes a team effort to be able to go through and really bring this building down and do it in the way that it has to be done. You know, there's regulations that go involved in it, and you know, I'm glad to know that there's people inside working on it as we speak.
Yeah, like I said, sometime early last week, actually it was a Sunday, I went out there with a camera and, you know, just a regular photographer, just regular cell phone and stuff like that, and just took some shots here. I was talking to a couple of the residents on Pearl Street, and they said, you know, how's it going to come down? I'm like, well, it's probably going to be done, you know, like Balfour was, you know, came down. Apparently, Jackie was telling me last night, the smokestack will be the first thing to come down, because that's an easier thing to come down. Kind of because Jackie and I last night at the inauguration were saying that you know, I remember when the Balfour came down, you know, the smokestack was one of the first, you know, little by little it came down, and then boom. But Rick and Jackie said, you know, it'd be nice to implode it, but that's dangerous too. You can't have an implosion in the city. It's not like, because he said it was the size of the building is because you can't have the implosion because of the size.
Right. And I mean, if it got to the point where there was an implosion, you know, rest assured that all the appropriate steps would have been taken.
Sure.
You know,
this
is such an intricate building in terms of the pollutants and the potential hazards, the size. Mm. I mean, everything. It's pulling back that onion, and you got layer after layer. So it's been quite the tumultuous progress, but I'm glad that we're close to the end on it.
And both of you have, Jay was on the council before. This is the first, and this is something that you've got to be proud of, Julie, because a lot of times when a first timer may not get enough votes, you were very, now you did, when the first time Jay got on, he got enough votes. This is good. You got to be very proud. I mean, your family, Billy, be very proud of getting there for the first time. I got to congratulate
Thank you
right away.
Thank
I mean,
you.
I mean, how did the family, look at this whole thing? I mean, the first time out, boom, you got out. I mean, Jay did that a few years ago as well.
Yeah, I'm a very hard driving person, and my family knows that. And, you know, the interesting thing on that is I never see myself as that way, but everybody always says to me, oh, you're going to do great. And I'm like, well, I don't know. And so I think just given that, I tend to work even harder. Mm-hmm. So I did get out there, and my strategy was that I would go to every corner of Attleboro and work my way in the best I could. I was on every border of this city. And got out to see some people that just said no one ever gets out here, and they were just so happy for me to get out there. So that was one of my strategies. And then the second thing was, you know, I don't know, you know, if you ever go out there, you're walking down long, long miles of road, and you know, you've got your last house that you're going to go knock on, and you're kind of looking and you're seeing this house way back in the woods, and you're thinking, please tell me that's not 104, please tell me, and sure enough it's 104. And I would just say, you know what, I'm walking down the driveway. Mm-hmm. And every time I walked down that driveway, somebody was so happy because they said, nobody walks down the driveway. So I learned a lot. You get out there and you see all the people that you can possibly see. Don't miss a house if you can. I mean, people were inviting me in. You know, would you like to sit down? Would you like to have some water? It was a great, great experience. Mm. I have to tell you, I was surprised. You never know how it's going to come out. I was surprised with the results. But at the very end, and I'm going to give credit to my team, I had an excellent campaign team. None of these people have campaigned before or been on it. Maybe one or two. But for the most part, they were just dear friends, which I think that's important, that you have people that are behind you. And most of them came from Ward 2. So I said, listen, guys, I'm just not going to have enough time to get out there right now. I'm going to continue my thing. Would you go out to your neighbors? And the last ward that actually reported in was Ward 2. And so when we waited and heard that, I kind of felt really good about that and said, I think we got this one. And it was because of the work they did on my behalf. So it's a team effort.
Exactly. And you said the same thing, Jay, as well. You couldn't do it. A lot of these counselors and the school committee people could not do it by themselves. You had to have your volunteers out there standing on the street corners every week. And just going out there, you know, doing the leaflets every once in a while. You have to have those people out there to get your name recognized.
Yeah, and it's an amazing feeling when you sit back and you're like, all these people are here, not for me, not for Julie, but for the city, and to really better the city. And, you know, I've been really fortunate to have the campaign team that I've had over the last, you know, three elections, and, you know, we've become good friends, and really it's family, and we always look for a good reason to get together. But, you know, Julie brings up a great point. I couldn't tell you how many times over the summer and the fall, I was out there, and people like, I've been living here for 35 years. It's the first time someone's knocked on my door, you know? And I think that level of resident outreach is something that I'm taking with me as I head back to work.
Right. I think we have a call, or at least we have a call with us, or it could be meteorologist Jim Corbin. Jim?
It is me, Dom, and thanks again for explaining that at large, and congratulations to both of you for getting on the city council again. That's great.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Jim.
Again, really interesting conversation, as Dom knows that whenever he's got guests, I love to listen to the discussion and everything. But again, congratulations. Anyway, what we have out here, I'll be very quick because I want to get back to things. We've already warmed up into the 20s now across the area, so as you step out in the next hour or so, if you're still inside, you'll say, wow, it's a lot milder than it was yesterday at this time. And we're going to reach about 39 or 40 this afternoon. So, again, the trend has begun towards, quote-unquote, warming things up. Then tonight, mostly clear, will fall down eventually to about 20, low 20s tomorrow morning. Back to sunshine tomorrow. High temperatures in the low 40s. Keep in mind, our average high is 37. So we will be above that beginning tomorrow, and really for the rest of the week, it looks like, generally. Friday, coming cloudy. And again, as I said earlier, a little light rain or freezing mist is possible late Friday night, early Saturday. Just if you want to stay tuned to the later forecast, because it doesn't take much mist that freezes to make roads slippery. So that could be an issue very early Saturday morning. And then a more widespread rain on Sunday. Does look like we're going to get colder next week, but still no extreme length of time of any bitter cold is in sight.
All right. Sounds good, Jim. Did you have a question for them at all?
No. I pretty much have the answer to me. Actually, you know what? I do have one question. So the at-large, how many at-large councils are there?
There's five.
There's five. Now, would you say, Jay, that the at-large councilors have more work to do, less work to do, or all of them, the ward councilors as well, are pretty much in the same boat in terms of how much time and energy you have to put into it?
Well, I think it's interesting, Jim, because I think on the surface, it's all the same. It's all the same amount of work. But, you know, looking at the council that we have now and the council I served on, it's a very hardworking council, and there's a lot of stuff, ancillary stuff that goes on that you can work, you know, whether it's, you know, Julie's work with the veterans, restaurant week, different meetings. I mentored the youth commission when I was there. There's a lot of different things. And the other aspect of it that we haven't really talked about is the actual business that we discuss on Tuesday nights and that we work in our committees. So, you know, I know Bill Bergevine, who was a mentor to me, said to me, he's like, the heavy lifting's always done on Tuesday nights, you know, on committee nights. And I think it's really, it's a team effort and has to be a team effort, Jim, and if we're going to really continue to move that city forward.
Well, that's great. Thank you. Again, congratulations to both of you again. And I remember I lived in Attleboro, Dom knows this, 15 years ago for about 7 years down by George I Drive. In the lower County Street area, remember it was going through that bridge,
yep,
near the Pucket line, and I remember that was a big issue, and I can't remember the name of the counselor at that time. That was probably about 1999, 2000, but I remember he was involved, I think it was a man, was involved with, you know, issues with that bridge, and like you were just saying, both of you saying about how, you know, you can localize things and get things done, you know, going from neighborhood to neighborhood in that area. And I remember there was an issue with that County Street Bridge, and it took longer to finish it off than it should have and things like that. And I remember one of the counselors, some of them, were involved in that 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think that might have been Walter Thibodeau, because he was always a ward counselor and then an at-large counselor back in South Alabama.
Yeah, because that is ward what?
That's ward one.
Ward one.
Ward one. Yeah. Okay. Right near the Pawtucket line where I was, and I remember having to get cut off.
That's ward two.
Ward two. Okay. But I remember having to go all the way around through Pawtucket to get past County, you know, to go up County Street, and a lot of people weren't happy with that, but they finally got it done, and that's the good thing about it. So thanks very much.
All right. Sounds great, Jim.
All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Again, less cold weather on the way for the next 2 days.
Okay. Sounds great, Jim. Thanks once again. All right. We have Julie Hall and Jay Delisio in studio. Yeah, that's the other thing a lot of people don't realize. And I mentioned this a while back during the election. you've got these six wards, and the entire city. It is so huge when you really look at it. You've got Ward 1, and I mean, it's so weird just looking at it. You have Ward 1 that you're near the Pawtucket Line, say you're in South Attleboro, down by Vista Donuts.
Yep.
But you also have one side there, and all the way down by Liberty Estates, on the other side, almost to the Pawtucket Line, near Rice Street, where near Walter Thibodeau, in that area, that's also Ward 1 as well. But what they do is that's why you have these wards 1A and 1B, 2A, all the, you have the A and B. So it's, you know, that must be a huge taking out there, what ward do you like? People, when you go voting, people sometimes forget what not the ward, but what precinct they're A or B. Yeah. We're in. I'm in 2A, and people think like, and I'll always remember that. And some other people are like, where am I? You know, then you go to this person or that person. That's why you've got the wardens there and stuff like that.
And the wardens do such an amazing job, you know, and that's a long day, you know, and they're there all day. And, you know, the Elections Commission and the Elections Office, they just do an amazing job.
You know, last night's inauguration, I think, was something that a lot of people, as I said, you know, they were in attendance last night. They had a terrific job with that. I think everything went really well. As far as the mayor's inaugural speech, I know that went terrific as well. But you also had other people there who were no strangers to this area. You had Tom Hodgson, the sheriff, Bristol County Sheriff. You had Betty Poirier, Richard Ross. You had Jim Timmelty. You had all these people that came, you know, come in. Those people right there have done a lot for this city as well. I mean, Julie, you know, you've been around. You've been, you know, at the Memorial Day, Veterans Day services and stuff like that. These people, you know, the residents love these people. I mean, one person that I know both of you have a lot of respect for, as well as I do, not to call out anybody else, but Betty Poirier.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't matter what Betty does. Betty, everybody knows Betty. I mean, you know, being now a new city councilor, people like Betty Poirier look up to city council. You know, they're a state rep. You know, they're in Boston. She's from North Attleboro. They have selectmen. And I like who was said it, either the mayor or someone mentioned last night about RTMs, you know, like going back to North Attleboro, and everybody got a boo. But people like Betty Poirier, who see, you know, as a female, you know, you've got, you know, you're looking up to her, but you're also looking up to everybody else, you know. But also everybody at statewide, they're actually, I wonder how many percentages now are women in politics these days, especially at the state house.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the percentage of women is. I do know that having five women on the board, and people say, you know, you have five women. I said, yeah, it's almost half.
Yeah,
that's pretty significant. I think it makes a much broader representation of the citizens of Attleboro to have, you know, we've got a lot of diversity on this team, and I think that's wonderful. You know, me personally, I, you know, get out there all the time and talk about this. I mean, when I first went into the military, I was one of a few on the board. There was usually six men and me running a hospital. So I think for me personally, to see this happening, to see these sorts of things happening and more women getting involved in the politics of the state of Massachusetts, I think is a wonderful thing. However, I think it's, you know, you can't say male or female. It's got to be the right people.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing. Doesn't matter what gender you are, doesn't matter, you know, whatever you do, you've got to be somebody who's qualified, and you've got to be somebody who wants to work hard.
That's why you're called counselors. You know, it's not just this. What will you bring to the council this year, for the next couple, at least the next couple of years, Julie?
Well, I do have a great sense of humor. I'd like to think, and I think that's important. I think people probably are sitting there saying, "Wow, of all the things she could say," but I think above all,
that helps a lot.
It really is. Does. There's going to be tense moments. I have a lot of experience with tense moments. I have run a hospital, major hospital, and two small clinics. That was my last job I had while I was in the military. I ran everything to do with the hospital. So there are always tense moments, plus the different threats that can come in. So, you know, we had a lot of public safety issues, a lot of emergency management issues that I had to get involved in. And I found that humor does help in those situations, keeps a level head, keeps you moving forward. So really and truly, I have the ability to look at a lot of different things. The way I made my decisions, I could never make my decisions on just a small bit of information. I tend to want to process a lot of things through. However, you don't always have that. One of the things that they told us in college was you'll never have enough time, information, or money, and you're still going to have to make decisions. And I take that to heart. But when I do make those decisions, I try to call in all of these experiences that I've had, and I've had a lot of experiences to help me make my decisions. And weighing out, most importantly, how it's going to affect the people, because I think that's the most important thing that happens is you got to think about what your decisions are, and then you got to actually think about how it's going to roll out and try to anticipate what can happen. Can't always do that. You do the best you can, but you've got to try to anticipate how this is going to affect the people when it rolls out. You may find out it wasn't such a great way to go. So that's what I bring.
That's right. And Jay, I know, like you said, you were there before. Mm-hmm. This is another time that you know, you've matured a few more years now down the line. What do you bring now to the City Council this year, in the next couple of years?
Experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned a lot my first 2 years on council. Learned in a whole different vein over the last 2 years, spending time with the ARA and the police commission. But the first thing, and we talked about it today, is the resident outreach. And that's really my top priority. And when I held office before, one thing I did is I held constituent hours every month at a different small business across the city. And we're going to be doing that again. We're just tying up with the business that I'm going to be doing probably late January, early February. But I think that's something that's really important is I just think about the David Bowie lyric, you know, people are immune to your consultation. They're quite aware of what they're going through. And I always, always hear that. So when someone's coming and they say, I have this issue, on the surface, it might seem like it might not be as important as the other one. Well, but to this person, it is. So we need to address that with the same priority that we would address, you know, something else across the city. The other thing is just fiscal responsibility. You know, I manage a bank. I'm very fiscally responsible. I understand budgets. I understand taxes. I understand living within our means. That's what we need to do. And really, as these projects that we talked about start to come to completion and we start to move into the next phase, and we have to make sure that we're keeping our eye on the future. Because every vote that we take starting Tuesday impacts Attleboro 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. And our future is bright, but we have to stay the course at this point.
And as of right now, when you meet, all the councils meet next Tuesday at City Hall, that is when they will decide who gets what, who chairs which committee, right?
I'm assuming it'll probably be done prior to that.
Right, okay. And then they get
I think there's an orientation Saturday.
Okay,
so they do that.
I assume President Cook will have it done, you know, by them. But, you know, if I could just take 1 second. We talked about Councilor Thibodeau. I just want to take a minute and wish him all the best in his retirement. He's done so much for this community, so much for the city. I'm fortunate to call him a good friend and someone that I've reached out to when I was on the council, when I was on the ARA Police Commission. So, you know, Walter, you're going to be missed, and I wish you all the best.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, we've got a couple more minutes to go. I want to kind of start wrapping things up with you, Julie. Some of the people out there that you have seen, you know, both of you have gone to city council meetings, even when you weren't on the city council. I think that's important, too, to go to those meetings within a year. We saw a lot of people out there, yourselves included, going out there and learning the things. That's what Steve Withers has been doing for the last couple of months, learning the ropes as a city clerk with Betty Shockru. But you've got to take a look at, you've got, both of you have a lot of knowledge coming in. You're going to get, you know, there's been knowledge with us, Walter Thibodeau. Some of the counselors that you looked up to, Julie.
You know, I reached out to, actually, you know, I can tell you the person who got me started in this was Rich Conte. Mm-hmm. Rich Conte brought me on to Rotary, and Rotary is something I belong to no matter what base I went to. Sure. I found it a nice way to meet people in the community. So you know, when I met Rich and he told me I was on Rotary, he volunteered to sponsor me. And we sort of started talking about different things at that point in time. Of course, he was a counselor. So I do look up to Rich. I do contact Rich now and then. We do have some conversations about things. And he has always said to me that when, you know, if I ever had want to run some by some things by him to just, you know, give him a call. And I very much appreciate that. I've had conversations with Walter also. And Walter has also opened the door. And I, matter of fact, talked to him last night and said, listen, I need your card because I need to get in touch with you. So I do want to pick his brain before he gets too far away from us. So I think in terms of that, you know, most of the folks that I, you know, are new to me. Now, Shannon's another one, too. When I first met Shannon, I reminded her this, Shannon Hegney, last night. When I first met Shannon, she was talking to one of the constituents and, you know, it was my first interaction to see how the public reacts to the council. And this person, you know, was kind of had some difficulties, and Shannon handled it real well. I didn't know her then. But I remember catching her outside and saying to her, you know, you don't know who I am, but you really handled that well. And I was impressed with the way she handled that. Jeremy Denley, he did a lot with transit-oriented policy that they're coming out with, a new policy around the train station. He handled that meeting. That was also very long and had to go line by line. And folks on the planning board, when I was on the planning board, were mentioning how well they thought that he handled that meeting. And we also felt. So there are a few people that I've sort of interacted with. I think they're all wonderful. They're, I think that everybody on the council that I've seen has something to add and offer. And I do feel honored to be around those people, and I will learn a lot from them.
And you mentioned, you know, Jay, you just mentioned Walter as well. A lot of people, we only have about a minute left. Before we end, I want to thank both of you and give you congratulations once again. But
thank you.
Another person that we had to also look up to is Brian Kirby.
Yeah. And you know, Brian will be missed. You talk about institutional knowledge and passionate commitment. You know, Brian really exemplifies all those things. You know, fortunate to call Brian Kirby a good friend, and you know, he's going to be missed truly.
Yeah. Well, once again, I want to congratulate both of you and thank you very much for coming down. You know, it's our door is always open, especially for you guys, and as well as all the other members of the City Council and the school committee. So good luck in your next 2 years, and I'm sure you will not be strangers here, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
All right.
Thanks as always, Tom.
You're very welcome. All right, that's going to wrap it up for yours truly. Paul Healy is going to be coming your way in just a couple of moments. We want to thank once again both Julie Hall and Jay DeLisio for joining us here in studio. We're going to do it all again tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. Yes, bright and early 6 a.m. We do it once again for you. We'll have all the usual suspects back with us again. Jim Corbin, we'll have Paul Palangi from The Times, and Gina Brown taking a look at the traffic. All that and much more starting on your Thursday morning here on AM 1320 WARA.